growing up in Victoria, I got an opportunity as a kid to explore a lot of the lakes and rivers around. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. And one of the things that was so neat was these lakes that I'd be able to go fishing in and swimming in were really warm. And we used them for all sorts of things. One of the things that we did was the university was able to use them for the rowing club. They had a great rowing club. It was one of the best around. And back in the late 80s, there was an incident that happened that changed everyone's lives forever. February 15th, I remember it as a kid, realizing that some rowers went out onto Thetis Lake, and it was much like this. It was bigger, but it was warm, it was nice, and they went out there and went on for practice. Now, February is not usually a great time of month in Victoria, but it wasn't bad at all. The weather, they said, was calm. It was a little bit cloudy, but that was it. So as they went out there, they did not know that on February 22nd, their life would change forever. As a storm came up, a squall came up, and it was unlike anything we'd ever seen before. It came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, the water was pouring into the boats, and all of the boats actually capsized, and many of them were saved, but two of them lost their life. It's a tragedy. You know, the storms that come up on a lake like this are unusual, but as we think about it, the story today, when we look in Scripture, is just like that. It's a squall. A squall came up, and Jesus was out there on the boat with the disciples. And so why don't we head out onto the lake, and let's go and explore the story of Jesus calming the storm. So today, we thought we'd do something a little different for the message. We came out here into Agassiz, into a beautiful area here on a lake, that because it has to do with our story. Not this particular lake, but really the Sea of Galilee is where our story takes place. And it's found in Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to look at verses 23 to 27. And it reads this: "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up and on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us! We're going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" You know, as I look at this passage, it's one of those stories that we tell kids in children's ministry all the time. And it's one of those stories that sticks with you. Jesus calming the storm. And it sticks with us because, you know, we have a lot that we can pull out of this. Some very important application for all of us. It doesn't take much to realize what Jesus is trying to teach here in Matthew 8. As we set out here on this lake is very calm. And as I shared with you that story at the beginning about the UVic rowers on Thetis Lake, the problem that comes in lakes like this is that a squall can come pretty quick. It can remain completely calm, and then all of a sudden, without a notice, it can turn into a terrible storm. And that's exactly what happened here. Jesus, after he healed many people, was tired and wanted to get into the boat so that they could get out onto the water and get over to the other side. And so Jesus gets into the boat, and the disciples followed him, it says in verse 23. And it says, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake. Now this lake, the Sea of Galilee, is really a fairly large lake. It's smaller than what we would constitute as the Shuswap Lake. It was bigger than any lake we have around the Lower Mainland. And it was about 21 to 23 kilometers long and about 12 to 13 kilometers wide. So you can see it, you could see it from one side to the other, so it wasn't that large, but it was still a big round lake that people used all the time. And it wasn't uncommon for storms or squalls to come on this lake. Now remember, these disciples were fishermen. And as fishermen, they would have known exactly what these storms were like. And so as we come to this, often we can say what little faith these disciples had, but they know what these storms are capable of doing, don't they? They were on in boats when squalls would come up and would be fearful of their life. because it was so intense and so quickly come upon them. And what they found is that suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Now, I'm in a boat here. It's got a little bit of water in it, and it gives you a little bit of uneasiness as you see some of the water coming in. But this is not just a little leak. This is actually water pouring in over the sides. And the waves so big that it just would pour in over the sides of the boat. These boats were not big. They're not like what we consider big boats. These were small fishing boats, and Jesus would have been in there. Now, it was big enough that Jesus could go down below and go to sleep, because that's exactly what he did. He's tired. And, you know, Jesus in his humanness needed to have some rest, and he wasn't worried about what was going on around them. And he just went down below and went and lay down and went to sleep very quickly. And the disciples are left to wade through the water, and then all of a sudden the storm comes and they panic. As any normal person would panic, they panic. And it says here, the disciples went, but Jesus was sleeping, and the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." They had great fear. Because as they were looking around, all they saw was this terrible storm, and they saw the water filling the boat, and they thought they were going to drown. That feeling is a terrible feeling, I'm sure. I've never experienced it, but I know that it can be a tremendous fear, bring tremendous fear for those that are on the water, and realize that unless you do something, it's going to sink. And here the disciples had that kind of fear. But they went and they found Jesus, and I'm sure they were astonished. One, that he went to sleep so fast, and two, that he was still sleeping in the midst of the storm. But you see, Jesus isn't worried about the storm. He doesn't worry about those things because he actually can control all of that. But the disciples didn't know that. And so they wake him, and the very first thing that Jesus says to them is this: "You of little faith." Now, why would he say that instead of maybe "do not fear" or "fear not"? He just says, "You have little faith." And I wonder if it has to do with the fact that didn't they just spend time with Jesus over the last few days and weeks, watching people get healed, watching Jesus touch the leper, watching Jesus heal the lame man, watching Jesus bring sight to the blind person, helping Jesus raise people from the dead. Wasn't this the Jesus that they saw do all of these things? That yet they didn't have faith to realize that, "Jesus, you could fix this. Could you please come and turn the storm down?" But instead, they let the fear run amok. And the reality for that is true for all of us, is that where's our focus in the midst of the storm? For the disciples, the focus was the storm. It was completely on the storm. All they could see was the wind and the waves and the water, and all of those things were causing great fear, and they were not thinking of anything else. They were not looking anywhere else other than that. And understandably so, right? Yet Jesus says, "Don't you remember who I am? Don't you know that I am the one that came and healed all these people, that I have great power, that I am the Messiah, the promised one? Are you not considerate of that?" And so he then, the second thing he says to them is, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Don't you think that I can fix this? Don't you think that I can do something about this?" See, in the midst of the storms, we have to ask ourselves, where's our focus? And as believers, as followers of God, our focus always needs to be on Him. And yet, I'm just as human as anyone else that can realize that when I go through storms, my focus is often on the storm. And the very thing that I'm asking God to do is to take the storm away, because I don't want to be in the storm. None of us enjoy storms. None of us want to be in the midst of storms, do we? They're not fun. They're hard. Sometimes they cost us. Sometimes they challenge us to the very brink of who we are. Yet God knows that sometimes these storms are ones we need to go through to help us understand more of who He is. And so then Jesus says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And He doesn't wait for a reply. He just gets up and He rebukes. He says, "Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm." Here Jesus decided to calm the storm. And He did so with just a word. And He rebuked, it says here, He rebuked the wind and the waves. And that kind of faith, as you watch that, if I were there to see that, it'd be shocking. What would that be like? to actually see nature subdued by Jesus. We've seen people subdued, we've seen people's health subdued, but we've not yet seen the creation subdued. And yet here, this is their first experience of that. And they become afraid again. It says, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. It's a great question. And for them, it was something where they're just beginning to learn more and more about their Savior. That not only is he the Savior of our sickness, not only is he the Savior of our physical needs around us, but they're going to continue to learn more about the fact that he is their Savior of their complete salvation, their need for him. Now, I know as some of you are watching this, you're going through some terrible storms. Or some of you have come out the other end of storms, or some of you might just be entering into a storm and you're not even aware of it. The encouragement for us here is to realize that our focus needs to be on Jesus. But like I said before, I'm just like every one of you. I often will focus on the storm itself. And Jesus here rebukes the disciples because they're not looking to him. And when they finally come to him and he deals with the storm, they realize something pretty powerful of him. They realize that he is all powerful. He is all powerful. And that same Jesus is the Jesus that we serve. The Jesus that we follow is that he wants to be all powerful in our lives as well. That instead of the storm being the most important thing that we're looking at, we need to look at Jesus in the midst of the storm. There's a song that we're going to play after this message. And it's Sometimes He Calms the Storm. And here the writer, Scott Crepane, was going through some terrible storms in his life. And he realized one of two things happen. The first is that sometimes Jesus does choose to calm the storm. In this situation as well, Jesus chose to calm the storm. And that's great. We get to a point where the storm is done. We get to go back to our normal routines, our comfort of our living, and everything's wonderful. But sometimes Jesus chooses not to calm the storm. Instead, what's more important for Jesus is that he calms us, his children. Sometimes he calms his child. Because in the midst of storms, there's lessons that we need to learn. There's things that we need to understand about Jesus that we won't learn in the calm, peaceful, serene lakes that we go through in life. But we need to learn these things going through the hard times of a storm. That when we actually go through a storm and we focus in on him and he walks us through that storm, he will meet our every need. And he will make sure that we don't drown. He will make sure that we will not be overcome. And so the challenge for us here is, as you maybe have come out the other end, or you're going into a storm, or maybe you're right in the midst of it, the word and the lesson for us today is Jesus wants to calm you. He wants to calm you. What can you see in Jesus that you need as you walk through this storm? Because Jesus is our everything. And he wants more than anything for us to rely on him and to trust him. And then we talk about this faith when he challenged the disciples, you of little faith. You know, we've all gone through storms, big or small, in our past. And the fact is, we're still here, aren't we? The fact is, we're still here. And that's testament of God bringing us through that. Well, if God brought us through that one, why won't he bring us through this one? So whether we're faced with a health issue, whether we're faced with a financial issue, whether we're faced with just the overwhelmed sense of life in general, God is there for us. And Jesus wants to be the one that meets our need in the midst of the storm. And so I'd encourage you, as I encourage myself, to remind us that Jesus can calm the storm, and that sometimes Jesus chooses to calm his child instead. Both are very powerful. Both are really important. And both we need to, the one things that we need to seek after God for. As part of our story and part of our lesson today is I've gathered three people from our church family. These are wonderful people. These are people that have had a strong faith in the Lord. And in the midst of that strong faith in the Lord, they have faced some really difficult challenges and storms. And each one has faced an enormous storm just recently that I'm going to get them to share with you a little bit. Part of it is to just share that, you know, we're not all alone. We all face storms. But secondly is how God is meeting them in the midst of their storm. And each one of them, the storm was not taken away. In fact, God chose to calm them through the storm. And they've gone through some pretty difficult times. And what I don't want is, I don't want us to feel like our storms are nothing because of the fact theirs are so much greater. That's not it at all. We all are, the storms we face are all very real. But what I do want us to see is, how can we grow our faith by listening to these stories and trusting Jesus more? Because as Jesus takes them through their storm, He's going to take you through your storm, and He's going to take me through the storm, and He's going to lead us through that. And so as we listen now, I want to encourage you, just listen to what their story is. Listen for the faith moments in their life. Listen for the things that help God help them get through their storm, and or is continuing to help them through their storm. And maybe God has some things, maybe Jesus has some things for you, that as you go through and listen to these things, He wants to reaffirm in you. So let's listen together.
Sail the sea of faith, find out before too long. How quickly blue skies can grow dark, and gentle winds grow strong. And suddenly fever's like a white water pounding on your soul. But still we sail on, knowing that our Lord in control. Sometimes He calms the storm with a whisper, peace be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean He will. Sometimes He holds us close, lets the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes He calms the storm, and other times He calms His child. He has a reason for each trial that we pass through in life. And though we're shaken, cannot be pulled apart from Christ. No matter how the driving rain beats down on those who hold to faith, a heart of trust will always be quiet, peaceful place. Sometimes He calms the storm with a whisper, peace be still. He can settle see, but it doesn't mean He will. Sometimes He holds us close as the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes He calms the storm, and other times He calms His child.
Well, hi everyone. We're grateful to be able to be together. I have three people I want to introduce you to. I want to introduce you to Kelly and Linda and Dave. And these three have agreed to share some of their story as we've talked about storms in life.
And each of them has experienced some storm or another that they're going to share in their journey. And so let me start with Kelly. Kelly, you've had a storm in life. What was that like for you? What was it?
Well, about a year and a half ago, my husband, we'd been married about 24 years at that point, decided that he no longer wanted to be married to me. And so that was a pretty hard thing to take after, like I said, 24 years of marriage. We'd been together 6 years before that, so 30 years together, and he says, I don't make him happy anymore. So I went through a full gamut of emotions with that, anger, fear. It was a real blow to who I am, right? And so I was ashamed. It was a tough storm to go through.
Right, terrible storm to go through.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that. Linda, your storm, what was the one that you went through just recently?
2 years ago this month, mine came up out of the blue. I came home one day from a day of errands and couldn't find my husband, and finally found him lying in our cow pasture, and he was dead. And on top of shock and grief and loss, he had five businesses that I didn't know how to run, 9 acres of land, a big house, the logistical mountain, and the shock and stress was just like an avalanche.
Wow. That's probably a storm none of us would ever expect to go through, and yet you've come through that. And so we're looking forward to seeing how God has walked in that storm with you and through that. So thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. And Dave, what's the storm you're going through right now?
Yeah, it was still kind of going on. I've had to close my family business that I've had for the last 11 and a half years or so. COVID's been a big part of that. We tried to pivot online and change gears and be able to, you know, weather the storm of COVID. But ultimately, I think we had to make the choice to shut down the business, and that's left obviously a lot of uncertainty in a time that's already full of a bunch of other uncertainties. So just dealing with a lot of fear and anxiety about sort of starting again.
Right. Well, thanks for sharing that. As you can see, they're tremendous storms, all of them, life-altering, completely engulfed in that. And the story that we talked about in Scripture was how Jesus calmed the storm. And before we get to that, as you went through your storm, how did you see God in it? Or did you see God in it as you went through it? Or was it take a little bit longer for you to see God in the other end of it, so to speak? Kelly, what about for you?
I immediately struggled because I had been praying for my husband for a number of years. He's not a believer. And so I've been praying, and I had in my heart that God was going to one day grab hold of him. He'd become a Christian, and it would heal everything that was wrong in our marriage, and we would live happily ever after. And this didn't happen. And so I really struggled with God on that. But I did find that when we had those moments, like there was anger and outbursts, and I just felt like God was right there with me saying, stay calm, stay cool, show grace, and be kind. And I couldn't have done it without him. There's no way. I felt like I was completely lost, but he was there keeping me calm through the storms.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. And Linda, I can only imagine how, as you went through your storm and everything seemed to crumble around you and not sure how to pick it up, how did you see God in that?
I immediately realized that God had given me a couple of things ahead of time. One of them just days ahead in preparation for this. And because I'd spent a lot of time pretty immersed in some consistent regular Bible studies and pretty rooted in God's word, that stood me in really good stead when the time came. My first go-to, my natural default was to go back to God and to look for his comfort and his help. And some of the couple of verses that he'd given me immediately popped into my head, and I knew he'd put them there for what he knew was coming.
Right. Powerful mm-hmm. stuff. And Dave, as you're going through your storm right now, what are some of the ways that you're seeing God in the midst of that with you?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just when one door closes,
yep.
God opens another door or a window or something else. And so while I've had a lot of history, come to an end, I've got some really great new things that are happening, and it's just the way they've lined up. It's almost humorous. So to me, I always know it's God working when it seems like it's impossible that these things could fall in place. It's God working in my life. So having some opportunities to work with some new people in their business, Having a number of great people surrounding me right now and mentoring me towards like new employment, and then just being able to sort of have time with the family and yeah, just face fears, knowing that God's here with me and working with me and opening new doors for me.
Right. Good. You know, as I shared in my message, it was the idea that sometimes God calms the storm that we're going through, and it's not so much about the what God's doing in us at the time. It's more of the storm just it subsides. You know, they come up really quickly and they dissipate really quickly. Yet for each of you, the storm didn't dissipate, did it? And something else happened, is that God carried you through the storm, right? Instead of God calming the storm, he actually calmed you in the midst of that. And how did that actually help your faith journey as you were able to experience that?
I'd say for me, I really felt his presence. I knew that I could never get through this without him. I was struggling in so many ways, and those instant reactions of wanting to boil over in anger or just curl up in a ball and, you know, and fall into depression. Those were very strong, but I just felt Jesus leading me through the whole thing, saying, "We're going to do this." And it felt like he just kept me calm and helped me to be the person that I needed to be through this, and the example my children needed to see. And then he continued to just show me these wonderful ways that he still loved me. He gave me a new job. He gave me a great place to live. He brought wonderful people around me to encourage me and just to let me cry on their shoulders. And I just kept seeing him working in my life through that time. So my faith definitely strengthened through that time.
Right. Good. What about you, Linda?
I think some things that I knew about God in an abstract sense, I now know experientially. Mm-hmm. I could have told you, for example, that one of the characteristics of God is he is the husband to the widow. And now I can tell you that I know what that looks like. I know that I'm not alone when there's nobody in my house. I know when I'm afraid that he's going to show up. I know that if I need I have a mechanical issue I don't know how to fix, that he can deal with that. And he has miraculously done practical things and spiritual things and emotional things for me along the way. I know him in a different way than I would have if I had never gone through this. This isn't how I would have chosen to learn it, but I have learned something different about God. It reminds me of the verse at the end of Job where Job said, "I used to know you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you." And that's how this experience has changed my relationship with God.
For sure, for sure. That's very cool. Yeah, very cool. Dave, how about you?
I think for me the biggest thing is I went through phases, and I think when you are running a business, you feel like you're in control of that business, right? That's kind of part of it. You're the leader, you're the person in control. And when all this happened, so much has happened outside of my control. You know, I could honestly say without COVID, like, I'd be at work right now, I wouldn't be here. So it was out of my control, and I can say that I tried in the beginning to control it, and I tried to keyhole it and make it go a direction that I wanted it to go, and it wasn't working. And I started to become very afraid and fearful, and then, you know, I remembered, hey, I've got this Lord and Savior, and the whole point is to make your faith bigger than your fear. And instead of going to bed at night and reading articles on how I could do this or that with my business, I pulled out my Bible. And I happened to be just reading through Ephesians at the time, and we all know Ephesians is full of, you know, stuff about love, and just reading it reminded me that I'm loved, and first and foremost by him, and also by my family and my friends. And you know, despite feeling like I disappointed so many people by choosing to close my business, that a lot of people love me too, and that I always have his love. So, I think it was just a case of also just accepting. I think at first it's hard when we go through like a storm. Mm-hmm. We try to fight the storm, but it's futile and most of the time. So
that's true.
Just being accepting.
Yeah, you bring up a really good point, and it's that idea of control. Is that when things are out of control, and storms are like that, they come in, there's nothing that we can do, and yet we try really hard to do whatever we can, and it comes to a point where we can't do it anymore. Similar to the disciples in the boat with Jesus, right? They're in the boat, they saw the storm coming, and it comes really quickly, water's coming into the boat, and they're running to Jesus, and what is he doing? He's sleeping, and they just can't control what's going on, and so they go to him and go, don't you care about us enough that, don't you know this, we're gonna sink and we're gonna die? And yet there is that sense when we go through challenges and we don't know the other side of it, that we just think the worst. And you know, you mentioned, Dave, really well, the idea that we do have a Savior. And the idea is that we can struggle on our own, or we can say, okay, God, I need you to help me through this. I need you to help me through this. And you're still going through this journey. Mm-hmm. And that idea, every day you got to remind yourself, am I going to be in control and mess it up, or am I going to let God be in control and make something helpful and wonderful out of this? And you don't know the outcome of you know, your particular storm. You guys, ladies, are on the other end, a little getting on the other end of that. You're knowing that, hey, I'm still around. I can make it. I'm stronger. And as I see the three of you, your faith is seems so strong, right? That's the part that I notice. And I know each of you, in not so much Dave, but even hearing your story is helping me see these guys are really strong. But that strength comes from God, doesn't it? That strength is so much of God at work in us. So as you know, you seem really strong. Is there a verse or a passage or a story in Scripture that's really meant something to you as you've journeyed through this? Linda, how about you? I know the one in Job you mentioned was pretty powerful. Are there others?
There were two things. One is that I was at a conference the week before Len died, and I came home just 3 days before his death. And on the last day of the conference, we were doing a practice session on Joshua chapter 1. And there was a phrase in there, and I knew the story extremely well, but for some reason it really jumped out, and it said, do not be afraid, I am with you. And for the first year, that verse resonated. Whenever I didn't know what to do, the do not be afraid part was vibrating. When I walked into my house in the middle of the night and I was alone, and I thought, this is my new normal, this is how it's going to be for the rest of my life, the I am with you part was there. And so that was very sustaining at the beginning until I got used to the new normal. But probably the biggest thing is a two-word phrase. Somebody else who was going through a storm wrote a Facebook post that I read about her storm. And in the middle of it, in big capital letters, it said, but God, but God. And that has become my new thing. Whenever I feel overwhelmed, I go to God and I say, I need another but God moment here. Yes. It's so much so that I actually had it carved on a necklace.
Nice.
Because it's, man, you look that up on a yep. on an app. They're everywhere in the Bible. Yeah. But God, but God. And that has been the thing that has sustained me most. I don't know what to do, but God.
Amen. Mm. That's powerful. That's really powerful. Dave, how about you?
For me, it's been more like just, I think I've been very fortunate that I was just in Ephesians, yeah. reading about love, and just during a time right now where the world is in crisis, and I felt like my life was in crisis, and just to be constantly reminded of God's love, and I think knowing that, you know, I can't quote it perfectly, but you know that faith is something that's given to me. It's not something that I earn, and that you know, he's there for me regardless. And I've just tried to really love people, like, because there's been some difficulties with people through this, so I've just tried to love on them versus get, you know, frustrated or fight back or make it about, you know, money or business. And I've just really tried to, what are you going through? And talk to them about what they're going through. And even though it would be easy for me to be like, I'm going through way worse than you are, you know, that kind of yeah. thing. So I think it's just been like, honestly, just spending just time in his word. And I mean, not something, a single verse that sticks out, but just making sure, to spend time in his word.
Good, good. Thanks for sharing that. Appreciate that. Kelly, how about you?
For me, I didn't exactly have a verse that came to my mind, but there was a phrase that just kept coming to me, and it is in Ephesians, and it was just, do not give the devil a foothold. And so when I'd feel those moments of just like anger or depression or fear or all the emotions that came through, and you start to, you know, sit in those emotions, and I'd realize that, you know, I'm giving Satan a foothold into my life. I'm giving him a piece of me that I can't afford to give. And so I'd consciously work my way out of it. I'd pray, I'd read my Bible, and just since then, it's been very strong. Whenever I feel those emotions hitting, I say, do not give the devil a foothold, because once you do, that's a dark path to go down, and I just don't want to go there.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah. Those are really powerful suggestions for us as we listen to your story. And I know there's, in each of your stories, we recognize there's so much more that could be unpacked, and we just don't have time in doing that. But I know each of your stories in some way or in some fashion or another. And I thank you so much for your courage and your willingness to come and share that. And know that in each of us, God doesn't waste the storms in our life. God uses those storms and leads us through those storms so that we can actually speak and help other people as they go through the storms. Because we know for a fact that God doesn't just remove the storms every single time. More times than not, He walks through the storms with us so that we can know His strength, we can know His presence, and we can know His peace. And it just helps build our faith. So thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate that so much. And thank you for allowing us just a glimpse into your life and that faith journey that you're on as a result of the storms that you face.
So as we got to listen to those testimonies, I hope you were encouraged. You know, as I sat and as I listened to what God's been doing in those people's lives, I'm reminded in my own life that God is at work, that Jesus is at work in my life, transforming me each and every day, and that sometimes He uses storms to continue that transformation. And so I would just encourage you, as you reflect on what was said, as you reflect on your own life, opportunities for you to see what God is doing, and to commit to saying, you know what, God, I'm willing to walk through the storm as long as you go through it with me. And there's a few questions here that I just want to leave you with. If you're there with somebody, or maybe you're there with your community group, I just encourage you, go through these questions together to get as much as you can out of the message and out of God's Word. And I would encourage you as well, if some of you are going through a storm or you've gone through a storm and you need help, we're here for you. And please let us know. We'd love to be able to come alongside and help you. Or if maybe you want to share your story, we would love to hear that. We'd love to share that story with others as well. So please let us know. We'd love to have you share those things with us. But I hope that this has been a great encouragement for you. I hope that your faith has been strengthened, and I hope that your resolve to pressing into Jesus is greater than ever before. I hope you have a great week. God bless Southridge.